if we can all be in attitude of prayer. Holy God, you have the words of eternal life. By your Holy Spirit, let the words pierce our darkness, strengthen our faith, and illumine our witness for you. Amen. Today's reading comes from Haggai. This is chapter 2:1-9. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God indeed. You know, as we went through Haggai 1, I don't know about you guys. Did anybody go back and read Haggai this week? All right. Y'all better go listen to the sermon, because when we come in this place and we hear the word, we're supposed to be reflecting on it this week and see how can we apply. We had this book that I'm sure most of you, if any of you, have never heard a message from. And we've got some interesting things that came out of it. I don't know, when I sat back and looked through it and reflecting on what Haggai was telling us and about the whole characteristic, it boiled down to the whole characteristic of God. It was telling us who God was and who God has been with his people, who God is with us. Sometimes we need a reminder of that. I remember the last words of the message was saying, we end with what we started, in the beginning was God. Period. So let me remind you about God with this video.
This looks promising. Hello? Another gigantic, ginormic waste of my life. Hello? Yo, I'm looking for whoever runs this joint.
Be right with you. I'm trying to fix a light. Tell me if it's working.
Yeah, seems to be. Kind of bright, though.
Yeah, it is for most people. Spend their lives in the dark, trying to hide from me.
Well, the elevator's broken, huh?
Yeah, but I'll get around to it.
You install the clapper?
No, but catch a dingle, isn't it? Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off, the clapper. Just can't get it out of my head, man.
Well, good luck with that. I'm gonna go now.
Okay, but the boss will be right out.
you must be Bruce. I've been expecting you.
This is hilarious. So you're the boss and the electrician and the janitor.
Must be a killer Christmas party. Don't get drunk, though. One of you might need a ride home.
You always were funny, Bruce. Just like your father. He didn't mind rolling up his sleeves either, son. People underestimate the benefit of good old manual labor. It's freedom in it. Some of the happiest people in the world go home smelling to high heavens at the end of the day.
All right, what is this? How do you know my father, and how'd you get my pager number?
Oh, I know quite a lot about you, Bruce. Just about everything there is to know. Everything you've ever said, or done, or thought about doing. Right there in that file cabinet.
Wow, a whole drawer just for me.
Yeah. Mind if I take a look?
Sure, like.
This ought to be good.
Now, this last entry was a little disturbing. Gloves are off, God. God has taken my bird and my bush. God is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. Smite me, O mighty smiter. Now, I'm not much for blaspheming, but that last one made me laugh.
Are you spying on me? Who are you?
I'm the one. Huh? Creator of the heavens and the earth, Alpha and Omega. Bruce, I'm God.
And that's the reminder. You know, last week we talked about, we know that God is God, the Alpha, the Omega, the creator of the earth, but yet we edge him out of our lives. We talk about how we crowd him out of our lives and asking that, you know, we should. It was a reminder of the people and to us that God needs to be the center of our lives, not the SOS God when you're just in trouble, you call unto him, but the priority in our lives. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence among us. We thank you, dear Lord, for the reminder that you are the Alpha and the Omega. So God, let us work out the middle properly under your guidance of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Help us. So, have you ever been in a situation where working on a project and you plan this project out and you keep going and when it's finished, it doesn't look anything like you expected? It doesn't look like anything that you hoped it to look like? Like, what is this? This is not how I envision it. Well, as we're going to meet Haggai in chapter 2 today, this is kind of where the people were that day. You see, God is seeing them looking this way, going about their business as usual. A month before, they started to do what God asked them to do, but they know they fall back again. And now he has a second message for the people, a second oracle. It's the second of four. We'll deal with the other two next week. So he preached. So Haggai now stand again in front of the people, this time 2 months after the first one, in October 17, 520. You could see Haggai was preaching this first message. If we remember, Haggai preached his first message on August 29th. If I had timed this properly, I would have preached this next week. August 29th, year 520. And he was saying that we saw that was a success because he did exactly what the book came out to do, to start building. Because at the end of the chapter, we heard that the words came and said, so the Lord stirred up the spirit in all the people and they began to build. But now they're standing there, and we've seen in the midst of this building, you see you have these older folks, the ones the scholars said it might have been the ones that, remember, this is people out of exile. It's the first prophecy out of the people came out of exile from Babylon. And so among these people, you have some who have seen the old temple, the Solomon temple. Scholars say these folks probably about 70, my age like many of us in here. And they're looking and they're, can you imagine they're looking, okay, I see what these folks, young folks are doing. I see that they brought all the things and they set the foundation, but guess what? It doesn't look like anything like Solomon Temple. They're saying, back in the day, things look a little bit different. Back in the day, when Solomon Temple, it had all these grand little things. It was magnificent. It just, you can just imagine what they're saying and the excitement about it. And yet they come and it doesn't look like that. Remember, in Haggai 1, God dealt with the problem right away with a question. The problem, whatever we want to call it, that it was their sin, their disobedience. God had dealt with this right now. He said to them in verse 3, who of you that is left who saw the house of the former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem like it's nothing? You see, God still knows the hearts of those people. You see, God knows our heart. And he knows these people in this time, they're embedded by their former glories. They're holding on to what was and not focusing on what is. See, last week, the problem of the people were having their priorities, putting the house before God's house. This week, the problem of the project is comparison. The same group now realize that there's a mismatch. As we look at the plans and the blueprints, they realize this is embarrassing, what we have before us. It's embarrassing the temple. And on top of it, Haggai is preaching this message on the very day that Solomon had dedicated this grand little temple to the Lord. You see, this message is happening during the time of the festivals of Tabernacle, the testament where these people now gather. So it makes sense that God is speaking to the priests and to the governor and the people that were gathered again. They come in from all the towns and come, and now they see what progress was made since they started building a month ago. Things doesn't look the way it was. But we have established, we know that when we hear the command from God to build, our responsibility is not to go back to Jerusalem, literally build a temple, yes? Our responsibility is to go back and build something that is from earthly things. We first have to establish that God's temple is in the person of Jesus Christ. It is calling us, reminding us that the word had become flesh and hang out among us. The supreme manifestation of this temple of God is Jesus. The temple that was torn down as Jesus died at the cross and rose again. This is the temple that was established now and before. So we know that, we sang it last week. God, Jesus is the cornerstone. And this cornerstone, what we're talking about, wasn't made of stone. He was made of the living stone. That's the temple we are called back to. You want to know where Jesus is? You look to the cross. You want to know where the temple is? You look to all of us, because he said, I will give my spirit. And we now become the temple of God. It's not some building in Jerusalem. It's not this building. They're looking for something material, and God is pointing them to something supernatural. And he goes on to say that until one day, it will be fulfilled. For God will manifest his presence in the entirety among God's people in the new creation. But somehow, as we go along our faith journey, some of us have been a Christian for a believer of Christ for a long time. Some of us has been in here a long, and then we lose our enthusiasm. We become complacent with God in our lives. We become complacent with being the church. Just like the people, we have lost hope, lost full insight of who God is. And then we keep going back to our routine of who we are as a Christian, and the struggles of Christian life kicked in, and you think to yourself, this isn't as it was back in the day. Ouch. Or maybe we remember the times when the church was full and shoulders were bumping in this place. The parking lot was overflow, and we come back and sometimes we don't even show up because it wasn't the way it looks back in the day. And frankly, you're right. It might not be the way it looked back in the day. It is true that it was true for the people of Israel. No one is pretending that the temple they were trying to build is going to be anywhere as good as Solomon's temple. And to think about it, it wasn't in a day that they were doing this. Bitterness was rooted in these people's heart. And in the small corner, they were, again, as I said, diminishing their enthusiasm because we are very nostalgic. We like to hold on to back in the day, instead of focusing on the potential, instead of focusing and the increasing our getting deeper in the relationship we have with Jesus. Because when we stay in that back in the day and just holding on to what was nostalgic and what was back then, we become detached, we become, you know, stagnant, and it eventually leaves the departure. You pull back from God and God's project because this is a rumble. You have good intention, but there's no work. And as that happened, you ask yourself, was God really in it? Was God really in it? Was I really doing what God asked? And we start building up excuses because we're not doing what God asked to do. And we're not seeing the fruits of what God has set up before us. But God knows what's in our hearts. You know, I was reading one of my devotions that prompted me to go to John 2, because I was talking about temples, and in John 2 we talk about temple when Jesus was talking about the temple, and he was telling the disciples, you know, the temple is going to be torn down in 3 days, he's going to build it up again, and of course they don't understand why whole temple is going to build up in 3 days. It took how many years to build that temple? But you keep reading that chapter at the end. These words just really came. God knew he couldn't trust them. Jesus knew I couldn't trust him because he knows their heart. Oh my God, that burns me. I had to sit in there for hours, showing that God said he couldn't trust us. That hurts. But it's true. He knows our hearts. He knows that we're not going to be with him. We know he's not going to be in you, that he's not going to be our priority. He knows that the work is going to stop and be stagnant. He knows that we're going to get complacent in our faith walk. He knows. That's why he's speaking into these people. But I want to remind you, God always says, be empowered by my present presence. He's reminding them, because in verse 4, he goes to an intelligent people and remind them, and when he tells them about discouraged by the compass, he said, "Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord God Almighty." No, the Haggai's among us might know that this is an exact repetition from verse 4 that we found in verse 13 of the first chapter when he says, "I am with you." 2 months between the two sermons, the message is in a sense is exactly the same. And exactly the same for us today. Work, I am with you. We find it strikingly as a promise that made by God that we need to be reminded over and over again, because God keeps saying it over and over again. I am with you. And he didn't just stop in the word. He gave us his own son whose name was Emmanuel, with you. Just in case you forget that God is saying, the I am is declaring. And we go down further in verse 4 and 5 and he expounds on this wonderful promise. And he said, I'm going to read it to you. "But be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, of son of Zodiah, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord. This is what I covenant with you when you came out of Israel and the spirit remains among you. Do not fear." See, God is saying to these people of Israel, do not compare, contrast, and conclude that I am not with you. This is what we have done, my friends. We have compared and contrasted and doubted God's presence among us. And I think that this promise of God is what we need to be reminded to keep balance in our lives day and day out. Last week, we picked up on God's word to the people to consider their circumstances, their priorities. I think we could consider our circumstances as we ask ourselves, is there something we need to repent of? Is there something that is blocking us? This word repent has been coming back to us. Some things that are blocking us day in and day out for putting God as priority, diminishing our faith. We could be wrong. Maybe we consider God needs something to repent of. Maybe because we don't believe in him. We don't believe in his promises. We don't believe miracles like that still happens today. As Mama Beth shared with us, has God failed with his promises? Is he with us in our present circumstances? Yet often we do that. Don't wait in the promises of God's presence. Because in the midst of our struggle, our faith crisis, we allow that to creep in our minds, the doubt to creep in our mind, and we ask, is God in this situation? For this lack of faithfulness is around us. Where is he? We wonder. God, are you for me? Do you really love me? And when we realize life is not going as the way it should be, we ask ourselves, not like in the day, but in the day, we wonder where God was. But do you know where, you want to know where God is? I told you. God, Haggai would say, don't look at your circumstances and compare to former glorious years. Hear the promise of God and trust in it. Trust in the promise of God, because what God tells you, he will deliver. It might not be in our time, but he is true. God's word is true. We talk, sing about ancient words, ancient time. He says, come through the time of history. It's still alive then and it's still true now. But because here's the thing, throughout scriptures and Haggai, we hear he constantly say, thus says the Lord, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord, God is speaking things over your lives. God is telling us, I am with you. I promise to be with you. But how many times we hear that, I am with you. and don't really believe it. I am with the word that we read, my friends. You can read this Bible. The word to read is not something to entertain us in the moment, that to go through a quick Bible study, in the moment. It's time, words that we must embody. We must embody the truth of the words. God is saying to us, but if we're not in it, we won't know what it is. You hear what I'm saying? If we're not reading it, if we're not going there. And, you know, when I pick up this book, I say, sanctify me, Jesus, as I go into your word today. I expect to be transformed. Just like when I read the end of John 2, I'm like, oh my gosh, challenge me. He knows I'm going to fall already. He knows I'm going to be disobedient. Things sat with me for days. But this promises is not something, goes on to verse 5. He was telling us, he was covenant with us, with you when he came out of Egypt. See, this promise doctrine is the famous tripartite formula that we hear almost 50 times in the Old Testament and New Testament. We said, I will be your God, you will be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of you. That's a covenant promise. Because 700 years earlier, God had made the same promise to the people of Israel. And now he stands by it. And now he offers the same word to you and me. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. God manifests himself in Jesus. And as I said, do you know where Jesus is? You look to the cross. That's the statement that God is with us. Because the word went gone and said, my spirit dwells in their midst. Go back and read the book. You want to know where that spirit is? I went ahead of myself. It's in us. It's in us. Multiplying day and day. And we have a responsibility to take it off. So my friends, do not let your circumstances dictate your view of God. Do not let let the promises of God dictate your view of God. He goes on in verse 4. Here's the most comforting, the encouragement he gives these people as they were comparison. Now be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, people, and work. The same thing he's telling us today, to be strong and be courageous. The same words he gave to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, was he ready to lead the people, be strong and courageous. The same word he gave to Solomon when he was building, be strong. The same word he's giving us, be strong in what we do. Because I know it's in my weakness, God is strong. Because I am, the word said, what Paul said, how did Paul put it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? And we said that a couple of weeks ago. If we believe in that, do we go about believing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? This is the same Christ that Haggai is talking about. The same God is talking about. It's the same and one and the same. It's no different. It's not two different people. It's two different forms. Embodying this truth, my friends, about God is what gives us power. Empowers us to go about our days. Empowers us to not compare of the time and move us out of the past and into the present. Because he's talking about, we talk about the glory. He said that he's going to give us a temple that is more glorious than Solomon's temple. And he's not, we know he's moving from the location. He's going into the global now. He's going and talking about a kingdom that yet to come. And this glory is going to fill that place. But we have, and it's going to be so powerful. You have this glory, it's going to fill this place, and it's going to be so it can shake the thing. You're going to shake the heavens and the earth, and we need to do some shaking, don't we? We need to do some shaking ourselves, because if God is going to shake this, and what's going to be left behind is this unmovable kingdom. Something can be shaken. Everything that can move and shake will be gone. In Psalms 118, he talks about how the earth trembles. The author of Hebrew picks up on that language and talk about this trembling and this movement. Everything's going to shake. So God is preparing the kingdom, this unshakable kingdom, for us. But we have to get there. We have to do some shaking ourselves. There are things that need to get out. Some purging that needs to happen. Whew. You can't go there just like this. This glory that we were hoping to experience, we're going to do some shaking. You know what I'm talking about? This is why each one of them, they had to repent first. We don't want to spend time and work on our crap. Excuse me. But we have to slow down and work it out. Because this middle piece, that's hard work. That's the work. That's hard work. But the promise is that I am with you as you work it out. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You hear what I'm saying? We're going to do our own shaking. Because God is doing the shaking, the unshakable. God creating an unshakable kingdom for us, an immovable kingdom for us. This immovable God is ready to take us on this journey. Take us, Lord, take us. Because let me tell you, when he was talking about the shaking, he made some statement that can't be changed. I will, I will, I will, 3 times. There's no turning back and there's no shaking about that. It's definite. That's the promise of God in our life, to do these things. But like, I'm not condoning poker. It's not about the morality of this, but you know those movies when they have those poker games and stuff, and the tension is drawing high, and at the end, they look at one another, and the guy will say, they look at the cards, and then they push all the chips in the middle and say, all in, with those immortal words. Feeling safe. I wonder if that's not what God is asking us to do. Put all in so we can feel safe. Safe that we will indeed experience this glory. This glory of God yet to come. That is, and at the same time, yet to come. Because the kingdom of God is now and it's coming. So I'm going to leave you with 2 P's. Perseverance and pioneer. We need to just stand in the faith. Persevere. Keep our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ, that Paul told the Philippians. The same message for us. Our vision is God. The thing that is unshakable in our life, the only thing that's unshakable in our lives is Jesus Christ. That's the promise of the cross. And we should be pioneers. We should be going out and telling people about this Jesus, this unshakable Jesus in our lives. We should be telling them the story, these miracles that happen because God heard my prayer and answered it. That's where praying is. But maybe we don't want to go. Okay, that's not for me. So let me ask you, is Jesus for you? He's got more invested in you than you have in him. Don't you think it's worth it? We're talking about guarantees. The only guarantee in life is Jesus Christ, not the stock market, not the investment that you're trying to prepare a future for. The only future you have is through Jesus Christ. Amen? So get out there. the only guarantee, the only safe place is a renewed heart that will worship God. And in that space, you might just get to discover Jesus Christ. Amen.